When you start working by peeling popple, and oh yeah, that means to, I think, strip the bark off poplar trees, by the way. Do you think you could go from there, from you know, that kind of work, to managing your own business, managing wealth, managing other people's wealth, and helping others achieve their dreams? You know, the entrepreneurial journey has many starts, many paths that you can begin from, and all are foundational to success along the way. Welcome to the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Case Lane, and this is your podcast. If you're feeling that it's time to take control of your future and have the lifestyle you really want by starting your own business. In this extended episode interview, I'm having a conversation with Rick Hadrava, host of the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast, managing partner of Epic Business Advisory and Epic Wealth Management. Rick is a successful business owner, certified in exit planning, and a value builder coach who has more than 26 years of working with business owners and high net worth individuals. He's experienced firsthand many of the challenges entrepreneurs face, studied with and been mentored by some of the top entrepreneurs in the world, and built knowledge, experience, and a network of resources to help other business owners get to the next level. Now, let's hear his entrepreneurial journey. This is episode 114. Hello, we're back on the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so excited to have today Rick Hadrava. Rick is the host of the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast. He's the managing partner of Epic Business Advisory and Epic Wealth Management. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Case. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to see you. And we're going to talk today about your entrepreneurial journey. Really excited to hear it. I had the great joy of being on your show on the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast. And we spoke then. And now I'd like to know more about your story, as I'm sure the listeners would too. So, but tell us first, what is a typical day like? Tell us about your glamorous life as an entrepreneur.
So my glamorous life as a successful entrepreneur, I open the doors, or I'm an early riser, right? So yeah. I'm up at 4:30 most mornings at home. I'm usually reading, trying to do a little exercise, enjoying a cup of coffee, get to the office, open the office, do the dishes. I joked with you, right? Titles are great, but I do everything from the dishes to making the coffee, to loading paper in the copy machine, all those glorious things that successful business owners realize that they're in charge of, right?
That's the real story. I know so many people take a look at the Instagram life and see the bling and the Lamborghinis and all this thing and think that's it. But on a day-to-day basis, it really is doing everything to keep your business going, which may include doing the dishes. So tell us, you know, what brought you on that? Did you come from an entrepreneurial house? Were you in an entrepreneurial family? Is that what got you started?
That's an interesting question, Case, in this regard. My dad was actually a lumberjack when I was a kid. Yeah. And so I spent summers as a young kid out in the woods, peeling popple, along with my cousins.
Oh, you're going to have to explain that one. What is peeling popple for those of us?
So for those that don't understand, you know, that paper that you have, or some of those things that go to the mill and make some of the products that we have today, it all starts out in the woods with harvesting trees. And then what they would do with us is they'd give us these little devices where we'd go, once they cut a tree down, they'd take a chainsaw and run it down the length of the tree and cut it into about 8-foot sections. Yeah. And then we'd go behind them and where they had cut, we'd put these little hand devices in there and peel the bark off the tree, off the popple, so that all they had was that bare wood.
Yeah.
And I remember, at least I was told, I was getting paid 10 cents a stick back in the day. Right. So it was really, I guess it was a little entrepreneurial that way.
Yeah.
But it was hard work. And those things were instilled at a very young age. Mm. And both my parents, though, you know, my dad built houses. My mom was in the mortgage business and had their own businesses from time to time. But they never steered me that way. It just kind of evolved, you know, as I grew up, into understanding that working for someone else ultimately sometimes was doing somebody else's agenda.
Yeah. Oh, it's always Yeah. People do have that thought. A lot of people do have that thought that they don't want to work for anyone else, but then they don't act on it. So what do you think was it that you decide, well, for sure, like this, you wanted to be independent?
So I spent 26 years in the wealth management business.
Okay.
And to kind of give a little more description of my background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I worked for some of the firms. I cold called, you know, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
I cold called. I was the guy that interrupted your dinner, right? I don't know. Okay. You don't know me, but I have this thing. And you heard no a lot. Right. But
okay.
As long as you heard a yes, it kept you in the game and you built your business and you built your following. I grew into actually a management position with a major firm, major Wall Street firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was young and didn't know. And I went that route for a number of years. And the reality is early on, it was great because I got to help other people build their businesses.
Yeah.
Right? And that was something I was passionate about.
Okay.
I've always loved helping people build businesses. But then, as you know, institutions get more managed and more HR and more lawyers and more.
Yeah.
They took away any ability to try to mentor and help.
Okay.
And so eventually and I had my own clients, by the way, mm-hmm. right? And so long story short, I just came to that point where I was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I wasn't having any fun, Kate.
And that's so, you know, that's so common. But I want to take a step back. So the path that you decided to follow, let's say out of high school, was towards finance, investment, wealth management. That was what you were doing. That was the path. So you went and got, let's call it a traditional job. That's what we call it. That's what you did. You ended up getting a traditional job in the field that you thought was most interesting for you.
Well, let me back up a little bit. My first job out of college, I spent 8 years in the National Guard. And so I had some help with the GI Bill and did things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my first job was actually for a bank, and I traded foreign currencies. I was a junior foreign exchange trader, which sounds glamorous, but I just did whatever the senior trader told me to do.
Okay.
But it was a great education. I learned about that.
Yeah.
And fast forward, it was my wife. She was in Dallas. I was in Wichita, Kansas at the time. And she wasn't that big on living in Wichita. Nothing against Wichita. I loved my time there, but Dallas just had more opportunity.
Okay.
So I loaded up and went to Dallas and interviewed with all these Wall Street firms.
Okay.
And one said, yes, everybody else said no. And one said, yeah, sure, we'll give you a shot.
Okay.
And I love people. I love helping. I've always loved kind of numbers. It's kind of a puzzle game to me. And so I embarked on that, but I'll tell you what, Case, I didn't know the difference between a stock, bond, or a mutual fund when I started. You know, this is like back in 1993, right?
So you learned on the job. And I think that's important. So there's a couple of things there, because one is, first of all, you pick something you enjoy, you can actually, going to work for others is not, you know, a bad thing or anything like that. You'll hear, you know, drop the 9 to 5 and all that. That's sure. That's where you want to get to eventually as an entrepreneur. But when you first start out, like you say, if you don't know anything, why not let someone else teach you, pay you to learn, and instead of going and paying for college, you know, go and work, learn on the job, and then take those skills and take it onto your own business.
Exactly. And I had some great mentors along the way.
Okay.
But mentors are interesting because you have some that you really like gravitate towards what they're saying, and others that, at least for me, where I said, well, that's not exactly the direction I want to go. But they were all helpful in kind of helping me create my path.
Okay. Now that's interesting. Do you recommend that, you know, that people seek out mentors to help you as you're going along your entrepreneurial journey?
I absolutely do. I mean, you know, I think if you look at those that are most successful in your circles, why wouldn't you want to at least see how they approach things, what they're, you know, I was just talking with a business owner this morning and, you know, we were talking about real wisdom, and he said, wisdom is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but you're not going to put it in a fruit salad. Right. And
right,
you laugh about that, but that's kind of what a mentor can do, is they've made a mistake or two, or they've had success. I think your challenge is to sometimes step back and go, which one of those mentors, you know, I've had mentors that I would not go down the path they went. I didn't, it didn't align with my value system.
Yeah.
And, but I think overall, if somebody wants to get ahead, you're going to get ahead a lot faster probably in the best way by having some good mentors and a good network around you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you took that information, you took what you were learning, and at what point do you decide, we were talking about how, yeah, corporate life, after a while, you can start to say, okay, this is not for me. So at what point do you make that decision that you're going to go out on your own?
So actually, a few years ago, we decided to leave the corporate, and we established, on the wealth management side, we established our own registered investment advisory firm.
Okay.
And so I have a partner. She and I own Epic Wealth Management 50-50. Mm-hmm. And we actually, at the same time, and this will make some sense with a little background, but we also launched Epic Business Advisory. Mm-hmm. And that was an independent business from our wealth management, because I wanted to separate the two. And what I mean by that is I had been working with business owners for quite a while as part of a financial services firm. But the problem was it's very regulated, and you have people in those firms that don't really understand the needs of a business owner. Telling you, as somebody with an exit planning designation, you know, I'm a value builder coach. I do fix this next. I have the freedom formula, all these things. And I wasn't able to run my business the way that I needed. So we took both those businesses and essentially peeled them out, created our own entities. And today I spend the bulk of my time running Epic Business Advisory. Mm-hmm. And while I'm engaged with our clients on the wealth management side, my partner and our back office, they do most of the work on the day-to-day in our wealth management side.
So the advisory is helping businesses grow and scale and so on. And then wealth management is then managing all the money they make. Okay, got it.
In case, if you'll allow me a little backstory. So one thing I know about wealth management, and what I love about what you're doing, is I know statistically, if you look at the data, and all anybody has to do is Google the retirement data in the United States, the average retirement account or asset set aside for retirement is minimal. Yeah. And it's quite frankly, it will never be enough to support these generations as we go into retirement, right? The baby boomers, Gen X, and even the millennials are behind the curve. I think that sparked a little bit of me stepping back and going, well, who are my most successful clients?
Right.
And they all owned businesses. Okay. They had maybe some oil and gas investment, something outside that had income sources and had ways to grow bigger wealth. And then I started to dig a little deeper, and it really was by accident that I went down this path. But what I found was, and what I mean by that is I was referred a business owner whose husband had owned a business and suddenly died, just died unexpectedly.
Okay.
And left three buildings, three locations, a successful business, but not the planning, not the assets to keep the lifestyle that they had been accustomed to. Regardless, they couldn't plan for retirement. So ultimately, we knew that they had to do something, probably sell the business. It was in that moment, Case, that I failed. It was my first failure in that, because what I recognize is I didn't have the capabilities to help this person. And that is something very personal to me. I love to help people. And today, that's by connecting people, it's sharing experience, it's bringing our network together. But I went out and sought my exit planning designation with John Brown's group at BEI, and I did that certification thinking that's where I could really add value. It was only through trial and error, working with business owners and speaking at groups, that I realized that wasn't the way to approach it. To your point, today, we approach showing business owners how to get freedom from their business, right? Like we grow successful businesses, but so often we're not having the financial success we think we should. And what happens is we get ourselves caught in that owner's trap. And that's where burnout comes, and we can go down a really slippery slope. If we can get them to focus, if my mission is if I can work with them through the different ways that we do to think about every day, what can we do with our teams and with our clients and with our organization to gain more freedom for ourselves financially and with our time, we'll grow more valuable companies.
Absolutely.
And the process we use actually puts business owners in the best step or the best position should they ever want to transition should they ever want to sell, or if they just want to run the business forever, more as a, you know, as a CEO, in the day-to-day, if you will. So that's kind of the evolution of where my journey's been.
And it's so critical. I'm glad you're you know, this is where you are, so we could talk about this, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when you're first starting out, you're not thinking about the money. And also we have a culture that doesn't emphasize managing your money. You know, you talk about the retirement. Most people, most Americans make enough money that they, if they knew and they actually implemented the strategies for saving for retirement, they would be fine. But we don't have that information, and people, or they sort of buy every Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman book, but they don't actually implement anything. So we, you know, we end up in this crisis, or they will end up in a crisis, because I think the ability for society to support people is going to be, you know, collapsing as we go forward with this. But so you're in a position as you're rising entrepreneur, you're trying to create additional income streams. You have to remember that that's what you wanted to do. Financial security is one of your goals. And so take the time, and people are sort of in their business all day long, but you take the time, put aside a day, two, whatever it takes to get the money right, get it organized so that you don't lose out from this great enterprise that you're starting.
So Case, that and that's one of the core things that we talk about with business owners.
Okay.
So if you think about it, it's really a simple concept, and you know, Mike Michalowicz wrote this book called Profit First.
Yeah, highly recommended.
and we recommend it. I've had Mike on the podcast. He's been on one of our Freedom Series calls that we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about it, if we can get business owners to think in the concept of, look, it's not top line revenue, but we're going to allocate some of that top line revenue first to a profit account and second to a tax account.
Yeah.
And then we're going to think differently about how that money is running through the system.
Right.
We've been able to help businesses just put themselves in so much better financial situation. But you know what's funny is that is the same. That's not rocket science. It's the same process that you, as an individual saving for retirement, should use. Right?
Yeah.
You have a percentage that might go to your retirement account each paycheck or whatever the case may be. But it's amazing to me. It's one of the things that I've really found over the years, that there's a big disconnect between what most CPAs tell their business owners and what most business owners see in the bank.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a very good point.
So, okay. So now you have a deep philosophy and you have your purpose. And I think for some people who are not sure what they want to do, but it sounds like you always knew, you sort of had that in the back of your mind. You always knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I always knew, like, I'm a growth guy.
Okay.
Like, I have to have goals.
Yeah.
You know, this year's been interesting because we shelved a lot of our goals just to focus on our clients and said, you know what, we need to take care of our people. If growth comes, we'll deal with it in that. But that's an outlier in my world. I'm always thinking about that. And part of that is, how can I help? I'm constantly thinking about, like, how can I be more valuable? Right. And I'm a big Jim Rohn fan as well. And I think that the key to freedom, freedom's an interesting thing, Case, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can define freedom in different ways.
Yeah.
When I get to play in the world of helping other people be successful, money is never the object.
Right.
Right. You get rewards. And it just happens that it's a byproduct of what you do. And so I've always been passionate about that. But I will tell you this, it evolves. Right. We joke, the podcast, I turned 51 just a little while ago. So a little over a year ago, I did this podcast because I thought it would be interesting. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
I wasn't a good speaker. I always say I'm the George Bush of English language. but I wanted to get uncomfortable because I believe that's where growth comes from.
Okay.
It's been an incredible journey.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to meet great people like you.
You know, tell me something though. When, as people are built, you build a business, and then now podcasting is a big thing, but you might have been a blog or a e-commerce store, something online. What is it that you decided that you wanted to do a podcast? Like, what was that sort of went through your mind saying, this is the next thing to do in my journey?
Wonderful question. So I was a runner for a number of years, and I wasn't a fast runner. So I became a long distance runner. I ran ultras, right? Like, I used to go out and do 60, 63 miles in a weekend kind of deal.
Wow.
Right. And so on one of my training runs at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd always have my my earphones on and I never listened to music. It's this evolution of runners. You go from, oh, I have to have music to I don't need anything to then you start entering this world of books and podcasts. And I think I was listening to Jordan Harbinger on a run and I was 48 years old at the time. I remember. And I thought, you know what? It hit me. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be 50, right? Like I'm coming up on 50. And for some reason, this notion crept in my mind, like what would be interesting and challenging to do at 50? Okay. And so I'm thinking about this while I'm listening to a podcast. And I thought, a podcast. And you know that little part of you over here on the left shoulder that says, you can't do that.
Right.
And that crept in immediately. And then the other is like, hey, what's the worst can happen, right? And so that's really the evolution. And I thought, well, what would that want to be? And I thought, or what would I want the context of to be? And I thought, it would be so great to share the stories of other entrepreneurs and you know, to encourage, I'm big on encouraging the entrepreneurial community.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to do that is like we're doing, sharing stories. And hopefully we touch somebody, we give them an idea or let them know that they, hey, if I can do it, you can do it too, right?
I love how the idea came in your head because I often tell people who are trying to think of which online business should I do? Should I do a blog? Should I do a podcast? Should I do YouTube? Should I do that? And I always say, if you can't decide, what are you listening to? What are you watching? Where do you spend your time online? And just, you know, might hit you, oh yeah, I actually like podcasts. Maybe I can do one too. So I think that's great. Now, tell us about when you were, let's take a step back for a second. As you're building your business, a lot of the sort of technical things start to get in the way for entrepreneurs because you always start out with your great idea. You want to help people. There's so many things you want to do. And then all these strange things like the administrative side get in, jump in there. You're talking earlier about the legal side, the accounting, all these things, profit first. You know, they talk about how you've got to make sure you've got all of your professionals with you as you rise this journey. So when you're just starting out and you're just starting to build your business and everything, how do you start to put all that together, get all the administrative stuff organized, building a team, you know, some of those things which start to feel too corporate after a while is when you started out as an entrepreneur.
Excellent question. And to be brutally honest with you, you wear a lot of those hats. Mm. There's no way around it, I believe. However, what happens is over time, like I met my business partner and she had different strengths than I do, right? And we kind of recognize that in each other. And we were able to say, look, let me do this. You do this. Let's, you know, let's work together. And that was the first part. But we were always looking at, is there something here we can systematize or automate? Mm-hmm. Is there something we can delegate out? You know, eventually you get the revenues to where you can maybe bring somebody on or virtual assistants. I've used virtual assistants on and off through the years. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge for the entrepreneur is, and this is why I'm so adamant about community and why you have to invest in mastermind groups or in other, you know, being part. I don't think you have, I don't go to networking events where they pass out cards and do that, but I'm part of mastermind groups. I'm constantly networking and trying to learn what other people are doing because they will share ideas that maybe are outside your thought process at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you get this done? And how did you get that done? And so I think that that is important, but the reality is you hit a point where now you can delegate, now you can automate, and then you start to recognize what things you need to stop doing. Right. And I think that's a critical thing
critical,
as well.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Now that's one of the hardest things, because like you say, you start out doing everything and then it also gets into your mind that you can do everything. So, you know, why pay someone to do that? Or, you know, are they not going to do it as well as you do it or something like that? But you have to figure out as an entrepreneur where your strengths are and then just, you know, stick with that and outsource. So virtual assistants is definitely, so that's the idea of sort of course of hiring somebody, freelancers. You can, there's a lot of sites that you could do that. So as you grow, you could see how there's a process, and then over time you could eventually find people you want to work with.
So Case, one last thought on that. You know, I think one of the things that entrepreneurs need to do is give themselves a break. You know, and don't be so hard on yourself. And what I mean by that is we're not all things, right? Like we have certain things we're really good at. Our strengths are the things that bring value. And it's okay if there's some other weaknesses. And I'll give you, you know, my partner and I did a Colby assessment Okay. And it was a really good exercise, K-O-L-B-E for our listeners. Mm-hmm. And it's in a short version, in my version, it's how do you begin things? And I'll give an example of the difference between my partner and I. Mm-hmm. I hear something Case tells me, and I'm already seeing the vision of it 10 steps down the road. I'm already moving forward.
Yeah.
My partner wants to ask Case questions to see how does this operate? How does this function?
Okay.
Right? Like, I've already figured that out and I'm moving forward.
Okay.
So, and if you think about it, you know, and I'm simplifying this, so mm-hmm. my apologies to the folks at Colby, but the reality is when you give yourself, it gave me the greatest ability to step back and go, I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm good at what I do,
yes.
visionary stuff that I can see things playing out and that kind of thing. What I need to do is put myself together with my partner.
Yeah.
But also from a communication standpoint, and this is really important for entrepreneurs, understanding that client or that team member mm-hmm. or that co-partner that you're working with, how they digest things and before they can move forward
mm-hmm.
changes the dynamic of the relationship. It solidified my relationship with my business partner.
Okay.
And by the way, I started to apply that to my marriage with my wife. It helped me because I was the person that needed to understand that,
yeah.
right? So,
yeah.
so anyway,
nice.
I just wanted to share that with our audience.
No, I think that's really important. It's part of the process, working with other people, knowing what that, you know, where they're strong, where you're strong, and you can work together. And I think for a lot of people, entrepreneurship is very lonely. It starts out lonely, especially if you're doing the online business work now. And a lot of people think it's difficult to ever find anybody that can compliment you, that you can work with. And it might be, you might have to go through 100 people before you find somebody, but it is part of the process is always keeping that in mind that you're, you know, you want to understand the other person as well. So that's a big part of growing in the business as well. Now you touched on masterminds, and I know that people think about, yes, it's a great idea to be around people that, you know, can help, but oh, I can't afford it. Or, you know, I don't know where even to find a mastermind. So what was your process, first of all, for finding masterminds? And then what was the value you got out of them?
So it's interesting because when my business partner and I started out in business, mm-hmm. you know, that whole communication thing became a challenge for us.
Mm.
We just saw the world in through different lenses, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But we embarked with Strategic Coach,
okay.
if you know Dan Sullivan in that group. And that was our first introduction to kind of a mastermind platform. We would go to Houston every quarter,
mm-hmm.
meet with the same business owners in a room for a couple of days, and we got to work on ourselves and our businesses and connect with others. Today, there's several things. I actually facilitate different kind of opportunities for masterminds myself.
Okay.
And you know, some of those we do free. And
yeah.
some of them, and it doesn't mean they're not valuable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We just are in a position where we can do some things at no cost to kind of get people an introduction to that kind of thing. And some we do a 13-week mastermind
mm-hmm.
where we connect 12 business owners with each other. We do accountability and we focus on the key value drivers of the business from the eyes of an acquirer. Right. Like
wow.
we look at a business and we measure it through the eyes of somebody who would be interested in buying, knowing that, hey, as a business owner, if I could understand that vantage point,
mm-hmm.
what kind of competitive advantage is it going to give me to create the value that I'm seeking in my organization? So it's all over, but like I said, I don't go to these networking
yeah.
events where they hand out a business card and they go
right. right.
Like that's not what I think mastermind is about.
No, that's different. But I wonder if, so because you have stayed in the same industry and there, you know, people that are leaving any kind of corporate job to do something else, maybe don't know anyone in their industry. So that's, I think, why you would go to networking events. If you don't know anyone, you're starting from scratch, you need to talk to somebody, you need to find people.
So it's a good point, but yeah. I'll tell you what I've done. People ask me all the time, like, how did I get some of the guests that I've gotten for my podcast, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't because I went to a networking event.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did? I looked at LinkedIn
mm-hmm.
and I looked at, you know, Facebook, and I looked, everybody, instead of posting, right? Yeah. And putting comments out there. I'm constantly using those platforms to see who are some interesting people that I would love to get to know, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And then I put myself out there to go, hey, you don't know me,
yeah,
but you know, this is what I do, and I would really love to connect with you. And here's what I found, Case. People want to connect.
Yeah.
Right. They do want to connect. And yeah, so there are ways. I'm not knocking the networking, but I've just found that, you know, I get invited to these all the time. They're like, you can be the only business coach we have. I want to be right with other business coaches.
Right,
I want to be
right
with other financial advisors or wealth management people. Right. Because not everybody has all the ideas, and you know, we do business differently than other people. Right. Yeah. And that's so I've kind of chosen not to spend as much time in my world. But yeah, when you're starting out a business and you're getting into a completely new industry, I hate to tell you, you got to do a little bit of everything until you mm-hmm find out where the yeah traction is going to come from.
I think that's exactly where it's leading. I really like the idea, obviously, of using social media, especially LinkedIn, which is more professional. People, you know, that's the idea. And so you'll see if you're looking for like-minded people in your industry, that's where you'll find them. But at the same time, I think you're right. If you're just starting out and you don't know anyone or anything, you're going to have to pick. And some people, I personally don't like networking either. I don't, because just for what you just said, there's no value in kind of going randomly up to somebody and saying, hi, who are you? I guess I should say there's no value. You could, you know, that could be the person who ends up being your business partner or something, but
right,
you, if depending on what the networking event is, but I've never been comfortable with just that randomness. But like you say, LinkedIn is very targeted. With podcasts, you know, there's a whole process for finding podcasts where you can talk to people, and it may depend on the kind of person you are. Maybe you're big on social already, so that's a great way for you to figure out how to reach out to other people. So it is a process that, and you might have to go through hundreds of people before you find the ones that you actually connect with. But that's what they, you know, and the people talk about the grind or the hustle culture, that's what they mean. It's this constantly trying to find what's going to work for you.
I agree.
So, yeah. But the key is that the talking with other people, being in those types of situations. I like the fact you said from the beginning, you and your business partner went and started going to the mastermind together. And so you're building that process for your business within the mastermind. And I think that's another great way to start. If you know somebody who you think might be interested, you can find out their commitment right away to say, hey, let's go to this mastermind, or let's participate nowadays, participate online on this mastermind, see where their heads are at. And then you can get the same information at the same time and work through the stages of the business that way. I think that's a really good way to approach it. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so going forward, so you built the business, doing really well, all that kind of thing. What do you keep looking at? I mean, we talked about creating the podcast, but you know, do you think about continuously scaling and building and growing? You say you always like to help people and so on, but I think a lot of entrepreneurs, rising entrepreneurs, are thinking, lifestyle freedom means I'm relaxed. I'm just doing my thing. I'm not worried about it anymore. So in your case, are you constantly thinking about what's the next thing for the business? Or are you starting to think about it's time to actually enjoy the lifestyle freedom part?
Well, you're asking some great questions, because here's where I think business owners fail. Mm. They get themselves there. We're individualists for the most part,
yeah,
which means we're pretty isolated.
Yeah.
We grind it out. We don't have the non-business social lives like we should, right? We all need connection, and I think we agree on that. I just read a study recently that said burnout among entrepreneurs as a category is one of the highest, mm-hmm, and that burnout leads to bankruptcy and financial failures, and that costs the U.S. economy about $300 billion mm-hmm a year, right? And so my point in that is, you as an entrepreneur, me as an entrepreneur, we have to be careful that we don't grind ourselves out of business,
yeah,
especially early on, because it's ups and downs. Some days you're on top of the world. Yeah. You're like, high five. I got Case Lane. Yes, it's great. She's on my podcast. And other days you're like, that person just chewed me up. You know, there's no business. It didn't go as planned. There's highs and lows constantly. One of the things is harmony. And that comes from, I highly recommend a concept that I learned from Dan Sullivan at Strategic Coach. And it's on your calendar every month. Make sure you plot some time for yourself, some time off, some free days.
Yeah.
For me, and as I told you, it's outdoors, right? Like, yeah, it's the ability to breathe in some sunshine and not have my phone, by the way. I go somewhere where my phone has one bar. And that gives me a good excuse not to return calls, text messages, and the like, where I can just be outside. And it sounds goofy, but the reality is the clarity that comes from you doing something non-work related on a regular basis will help you be a better entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's so true that people think, again, because of the hustle culture, the grind culture, that you grind yourself to nothing and you have nothing to show for it. You don't have your business. You don't have what you really were hoping for. But yet, like if you say, take just one day a month, at least then you, because when you put it on the calendar, and I love that idea too, it's there. So if you are, you know, you're working really hard and everything, you know, that day's coming up that you have that break. And so, and then plan for it to be phone free, email free, just doing your own thing. And if your business is organized, so the basic idea of the business, you know, make a product, sell a product. So if you're, you know, you've got the everything organized, you don't have to feel guilty about going off for a hike or something or sitting in the sun, because you can take that break. It's if you've done, you know, all the things that you've told yourself you wanted to do for the business to move forward anyway. So how much of that part do you do? Where you plan, you lay it out, you lay out those goals, you lay out those objectives so people can see that they're making progress. Is that a big part of the, when you're working with business people around how to help people stay sort of balanced?
Absolutely. And you know, that's the thing. It's results. It's not time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you don't do that, I've seen the negative impacts of it. And you know, you got to remember, I always start the end of my, or start the end of my show. How about that? I always wrap my show, my podcast up with the phrase, remember, we're only getting started.
Yeah.
You know, measure yourself against the progress that you're making, not against where you ultimately want to be. Yeah. And it will give you a different perspective on, you know, just where you are right now in the moment, and give you a little, give yourself a little forgiveness.
Right.
But we put it on the calendar, and so that everybody on the team can see when we're going to be out. And, and we kind of require that of our team members to get their time off. You know, so whether you look at it as sharpening the saw or just giving yourself time to recoup, or, you know, just the mind needs to be in a different environment from time to time. And so that's absolutely, I'd advocate it, and I practice it. I do workshops, I do masterminds, and I do one-on-one coaching.
Okay.
And what's fascinating is with the one-on-one, you go a little more in depth, and I have some clients that I'm working with recently who said, look, we're not taking the personal time. We're not exercising. We're not eating right. We're not taking time for ourselves. We need you to help us be accountable. Right. And people think, well, that has nothing to do with business, but it has everything to do with business. Back to your point, when do you enjoy this? Right. Mm. And I don't know if I shared, I lost my dad when he was 56.
Mm.
He always thought about retirement. Right. And I guarantee you, he didn't think 56, he was going to be done. Mm. So as a business owner, you don't know what the future holds.
Right.
And you've got take the passion, do what you're doing, but open it up.
Yes.
Give yourself permission to do it your way around your priorities.
Wow. Now, did you actually learn that? You know, that's, I mean, I love that philosophy. Did you teach it to yourself based on experience, or was it books that you read? You know, what, where did you get the ideas that have sort of formed how you want to operate?
Oh my gosh. So like I said, I've been part of Strategic Coach. Mm-hmm. I read about 15 to 20 books a year. Okay. I'm constantly trying to think things through. That's the one thing, is I'll take a concept and say, how does this apply to me? Okay. Right. And sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing also, is not everything's going to apply. They're to help you think, right? Like, how can I execute on this? But it's being places. I pay every year to be a part of programs. So it's EOS, it's Scaling Up. It's, you know, Dan Sullivan is Strategic Coach. I've been paying right now to be a part of Chet Holmes International, just to do a refresher on those. I'm constantly learning, and so that I can bring those things and concepts, not only to my own business, but to the people that I'm working with, the entrepreneurs that I work with.
Yeah. I like that you said, it's not that everything is going to be so obvious, because I think that people, hear, oh, you know, somebody online is like, hey, you can make $1 million in 10 minutes doing nothing. And so they're like, oh, I'll pay you. And then you, and then it doesn't work. And you wonder, why didn't it work? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes because obviously the context of that person's success is not going to be the same as yours. The ideas, you know, some, a lot of the course, the actual technical parts are all very good, but the implementation has to come from you. So you have to be able to do it and sustain it. And I think people get lost pretty quickly, disillusioned. I hear, you know, the completion rate of online courses is only about 20% or something like that. It's really low. So but taking it all in and using it as information that may or may not apply to you, but information you can use, figure out, and build from there is absolutely the way to go, and keep making that investment.
Well, and so think about this as a business owner. What I think is the most important thing, because you're going to gain knowledge and wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. There's a difference, as we talked about.
Yes, there is. A difference.
But here's the key. When we like to look every 90 days, we simply sit down with business owners and say, look, what was good that happened in your business or personally, professionally, last 90 days, right? Let's talk about it. What wasn't so good, right? Let's talk about that as well. How do we avoid that moving forward? And how do we do more of the good?
Yeah.
And then we get into, what needs to happen moving forward? Is it sales? Is it profit? Is it the order, the operations? Maybe it's impact that we're making or the legacy. What is it that's most important right now? Mm-hmm. And let's drill down into that. And then over the next 90 days, let's define an objective. Let's figure out how we're going to measure that. And then guess what? What I've realized is I'm there to be accountability coach, if you will, for lack of a better word. The techniques and the knowledge, they're just conversational and how they can apply to leveraging our goals for that 90 days.
Right.
But that gives us a chance to keep measuring back against where we were. Are we making progress? And we go. So to your point, execution is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the problem. Please don't think you have to execute on everything you're coming across, everything you're reading. Find the thing that you feel applies to where you are right now.
Yes.
And then just put it into that context.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's the key. Set your goals, set your objectives, and then work towards those and make sure, you want to make this the business that's sustainable for you. So you don't want to be doing things, you know, you might have to do some things you don't really like, but at the end of the day, you don't want to be doing everything you don't like. So you want to make sure constantly that you're keeping the business within that framework of what works for you.
That's right.
That's awesome. Now you've mentioned so many great resources, and I always put a list on the resources page of the Ready Entrepreneur podcast on the readyentrepreneur.com website. So that's where I'll put links to everything that you've mentioned, but are there any that you haven't? Are there any books that you've read or courses that you took that you think are really great resources for people?
Oh, wonderful. So I'm actually working very hard to get this author on my podcast. Okay. His name is Morgan Housel, and he wrote a book and it was published recently. And I think it's a revised copy, and it's called The Psychology of Money.
Okay.
And I think if you're a business owner, I think if you're an investor, if you're a wealth management person, I tell people, I wish I would have read this book 30 years ago. I think he did an excellent job of putting some things in the right place from the psychology of money. Highly recommend it.
Okay.
But outside of that, I named a bunch of them.
I
think they're all great. And then, you know, we even put together shameless plug for our freedom formula. And it was just kind of our spin on some concepts that we think are critical as, you know, we researched business owners, and we found that they all said the same thing. Ultimately, they wanted greater freedom, right? They wanted to be able to do things that were bigger than where they are, or they wanted actual free time. They wanted their time back.
Yeah.
And so we looked at financial, we looked at time, and we shared a concept of what we developed, had a little fun with it, called the Freedom Formula.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a resource. It's a 25-minute little video that we put out there, and it's on our website. And it's just designed to get people thinking a little bit.
Awesome. Now, okay, so tell everybody where they can find you then, and where they should look for the Freedom Formula and look for you and follow up with you if they're interested.
So they can find the Freedom Formula at epicsbiz.com/how-it-works. don't ask me why we got the hyphens, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
They can go to the website and play around. It's epicsbiz.com. Okay. And they can find our podcast on iTunes or our website or anywhere that they listen to podcasts. I'm on LinkedIn. It's Rick Hadrava. Twitter is R Hadrava. My email is rick@epicsbiz.com. The thing of it is I love to hear from people. We get great feedback and questions all the time. And I just open up anybody to, send me an email.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. What great ideas, a wonderful entrepreneurial journey. Once, going from picking something you want to do, taking that as your professional career, turning it into your online business, expanding it on as it, technology changes to podcasts and videos and so on. Thank you so much. Rick Hadrava is the host of the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast and the managing partner of Epic Business Advisories and Epic Wealth Management. Rick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Case, it's my pleasure. You're doing great work. Keep it up.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rick Hadrava, host of the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast, managing partner of Epic Business Advisory and Epic Wealth Management. And I hope you learned a few tips and strategies from his entrepreneurial journey that you can apply to yours. Links to all the resources mentioned on the show can be found on the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast resource page at readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to follow up with Rick, you can find him on LinkedIn and Twitter. Check the show description for those links and for links to get a copy of the Freedom Formula that Rick talked about in the episode. And if you want to receive an invitation to the next Free Freedom series call or learn more about the next virtual mastermind, send an email to Rick at epicsbiz, epicsbiz.com, and let him know. Remember, the number one decision to make if you're still a wantrepreneur is just to get started on your own business. And since you like audio because you're listening to this podcast, maybe you also like audiobooks. I started getting into audiobooks when I had to commute a few hours a day, and I really enjoyed books read by the writers or production fiction with cool sound effects. That helped really pass the time. But I also learned a great deal listening to books about subjects that were important to me. And if you want to learn more about entrepreneurship and the steps that you can take to move forward, you can check out my audiobook, Life Dream, 7 Universal Moves to Get the Life You Want Through Entrepreneurship. You can get it for free when you sign up for a free trial of the audiobook service Audible. All you have to do is click the link in the show description and you'll be on your way. And if you already have an Audible subscription, consider adding Life Dream to your collection to help you move forward on your entrepreneurial journey. Okay, that's it for episode 114 of the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast, an interview with Rick Hadrava, host of the Over 50 Entrepreneur Podcast, managing partner of Epic Business Advisory and Epic Wealth Management, about his entrepreneurial journey. If you enjoyed this information and found it useful, please make sure you're subscribed to the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast so you do not miss future episodes. And please leave a rating and a comment at Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen to podcasts so I can see your feedback. And if you know someone who would benefit from the tips and strategies in the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast, please share this podcast with another aspiring online entrepreneur. At readyentrepreneur.com, you'll find tons of helpful information for rising entrepreneurs, links to guides, books, courses, and so much more. And you can join the community of aspiring entrepreneurs just like you, who I keep up to date with tips, ideas, strategies, and other cool stuff. Visit readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to reach out to me directly, email contactcase@readyentrepreneur.com or follow me on social media or reach out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Pinterest. Thank you so much for listening to the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast with Case Lane.